As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places: Jewish and Christian scriptures and other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. Today's wisdom comes from our hymnal, number 651, "The Body is Humankind." I am a single cell in a body of 4 billion cells. The body is humankind. I am a single cell. My needs are individual, but they are not unique.
I am interlocked with other human beings in the consequences of our actions, thoughts, and feelings.
I will work for human unity and human peace, for a moral order in harmony with the order of the universe.
Together we share the quest for a society of the whole equal to our needs.
A society in which we need not live beneath our moral capacity, and in which justice has a life of its own.
We are single cells in a body of 4 billion cells. The body is humankind. Good morning. So my mother always said that I was her only child who had to find herself. I was kind of curious about this because I always thought she was saying it as if it were somehow a negative thing. But I rather like the idea of finding myself. I often think of myself as an onion, and I'm slowly peeling away the layers to get what is at my core. And I believe that this is a lifelong journey. Then recently, I came across this quote from George Bernard Shaw. "Life isn't about finding yourself, it's about creating yourself." So now, when someone asks me about who I am or what I do, I can answer, "I don't know. I was trying to find myself, but I haven't yet. So now I'm creating myself." And lately, this has actually felt a little true, at least the part about creating myself. In the past few years, I've been creating the me who no longer needs to support 2 children. I'm getting by working less than full-time, giving me time to pursue a certification in an area that interests me. And when asked about serving on the James Reeb Board of Trustees, I was able to say yes. But back to this idea of creating oneself versus finding oneself. I've been giving it some thought, and I also did a little research, meaning that I Googled creating yourself versus finding yourself. And I found some interesting reading and varying opinions. Gustav, the modern nomad, thinks creating is the way to go. He seems to feel that finding oneself is limiting. He writes, "It is up to me to direct and shape my own life in any way I desire. I am not meant to do anything, and thereby I am free to do any and everything, and thus, step by step, I am creating myself." I get that, although I don't think of finding myself as one concrete, finite thing. Like I said, it's ongoing. Maybe even fluid. And then there are others who feel that finding oneself is important. In his piece, "Self-Discovery versus Self-Creation, Keys to Unlocking Your Best Self," A.J. Drenth writes, "In asking the question, 'Who am I?' we are not looking for a laundry list of traits, but for a highly concentrated, energy-dense image that captures the essence of who we are, our core self. We sense that understanding and tapping into this core has the potential to liberate vast amounts of energy." This does resonate with me. Really searching for this inner self is a way of going deeper, really getting at the truth. And of course, there's the belief that both are important. And I liked this following interpretation, and this is a continuation of Drenth. "If self-discovery yields an assortment of clues or pieces about who we are, Self-creation restores or brings unity to the self by arranging the pieces in a meaningful way. So I can imagine continuing the search for myself and then using what I find to continue to create myself. And really, the bottom line for me is that this is raising my awareness, this learning who I am and who I can become. So I like the idea of the combination. So while exploring this creating versus finding self has gotten me into thinking about my place on the board. I'm thinking that along with going to board meetings, asking questions, learning, and giving my input, I want to consciously think about who I am and what I bring. One thing that comes to mind is being a listener. I really began developing my listening skills as a hospice nurse. And now, as I learn about integrative nurse coaching, I'm deepening those listening skills. I see the board as a place to further deepen this. As I think most of us are aware, effective listening means really focusing on what someone is saying, possibly reflecting back or asking for clarification to make sure we truly understand. For me, good listening also includes listening to my own inner wisdom, which frankly is not always easy to do with all the chatter going on in my brain. So mindful meditation has been one of my tools for deeper listening. In a sense, the board is doing this as well. We have started the practice of beginning our meetings by centering ourselves, listening to a short reading, and then taking time to meditate on the reading, followed by a brief sharing. And one of our unofficial goals of our board is examining our processes, especially around dismantling white supremacy. And this requires deep and active listening from all of us. We work hard at this in our meetings. It also means deep and active listening within our congregation, and also in our communities. And as Jossie mentioned, one of our official goals this year is to support the exploration of JRUUC's mission statement. This will offer many chances for all of us to tap into our inner wisdom, as well as to deeply listen to one another. There are so many opportunities for deep and heartfelt listening as we continue to create and grow as a board and as a congregation. And whether or not a listener is who I am on the board, it's certainly a part of making me a better board member. I guess I'm creating myself as a good listener. And as a board member, my hope is to go in being more conscious of what I bring and how I can best serve. So I'll leave you with these questions. How are you creating yourself? And how do you see yourself helping to continue to create our congregation? Thank you.
I have to follow that. Okay. Thank you. Hello, my name is Thomas Lund. I am the secretary for the Board of Trustees. And I'm happy to be here and talk about serving on the board and doing so in a spiritual way. So I think this might be titled The Spirituality of Parliamentary Procedure. And I'm really sorry. So, okay. Years ago, and I am amazed it was years ago, I was a worship associate here and I would do a lot of what we are doing today. Helping with the sermon, coordinating music and words, finding readings, helping with joys and sorrows. And at that time, I was told that I hold the container of the service pretty well. I have a skill in maintaining the sacred space that we create, and I'm quite proud of that. It partially comes from my education. Somewhere between majors in psychology and theater, I found an understanding and deep appreciation for how ritual works and how the power that ritual can bring to our lives is very... It's great when it's practiced well. So for us, when we attend service, when we hold the time between lighting our chalice and extinguishing it, we enter a ritual space and time. And here we are able to feel safe. Safe enough to share our joys and sorrows, safe enough to join hands, safe enough to listen to, think about, and explore truths about our world, our society, and our just very human existence. We take chances and dare to dream, and some of that is due to this safe space and the time that we build together. I am happy to hold the ritual structure safely when I am a worship associate to help maintain that safety during our time together. Now, in a different realm of my life, the more mundane side, I work as a clerk, and I am responsible sometimes for keeping records of meetings. I have some limited skills in taking notes and following some semblance of Robert's Rules of Order for parliamentary procedure. And at first, I thought this was only a necessary evil, just something that was required, that local government must follow procedures. Very simple, very cut and dried. Eventually, I took a seminar at a conference about parliamentary procedure, and I was given the gift of a teacher who was inspired. Somehow, learning how to record what happens at a meeting became fascinating. Her main point was that these arcane procedures, calling the question, constructing a consent agenda, achieving quorum, are set in a place so that what happens during the meeting is clear and transparent to anyone who wishes to know what happened. She said that parliamentary procedures are about the right of the majority to decide, but also about the right of the minority to be heard. So when a meeting is run well, all sides of a discussion are heard, and when a decision is reached, everyone knows how the vote went. These things are not hidden. The rules also help maintain the meeting itself, that it begins and ends on time, that nothing is skipped, and that there are no surprises. So this was a new way of thinking for me. An invitation to see these types of rules as an aid to transparency and a protection for everyone. When a meeting is orderly, it is fair. And when the container of the meeting is maintained, it will succeed. So I find these two ideas are combined at our trustees, our board meetings. We open with a reading and a chalice lighting. We check in. We establish the trust we need to do the work of REEB. As we discuss topics, we keep track of the decisions and record them as minutes. It's a bit tricky to do both things at the same time, to open a space for sharing, a space and time of trust, and then to also follow rules and procedures, to stick to a schedule, and to actually keep track of the time and move along when we need to. And since we are UUs, I can promise that there is never quite enough time set aside for everything that we hope to discuss and all that we hope to do. But I think of the elements of a meeting and the elements of a service as similar. Both are types of rituals that are done so that we can do spiritual work. When we attend services, we are engaged in a spiritual practice. And the same is true if you pray or meditate, if you keep a journal, if you reflect on issues while you bike or walk, or if you just take a moment at the end of the day to feel gratitude. I am beginning to understand that work that is done here at REEB, to keep the floors clean, the hymnals put away after service, to take minutes of meetings, to make sure a door or a roof is sealed against water, that all of these are a spiritual practice. So, if someone asks you to join a committee, understand that it is a request for your time and your energy, but it is also a chance to develop your spiritual practice. So, since we are connected by an interdependent web of existence, I also see that this dynamic moves in the opposite direction. My work for the city of Madison is becoming or is spiritual. Don't tell them I said that. Okay. It is perhaps drier. We don't light chalices, but we do make sure we have quorum. We don't have a check-in time, but we do have a roll call. We may not have a ritual structure, but we do have procedures. Even in a setting as mundane and profane as the Alcohol Review Committee, we see committee members and applicants threading a fine line between community building at a local cafe and public health requirements, between building a business that feeds a family while negotiating the fact that alcohol served there is a drug, Of all the collisions between making a profit and the pleasure of succeeding as a business owner, and of the fine line between a perfect night out and a safe drive home. As city staff and community members struggle with these issues, perhaps they are also finding a spirituality. We certainly demonstrate it here at every meeting, every concert, every workday, as well as every Sunday morning.